Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we talk about the binding of Isaac. Let's pray. O God of all creation, we pray that you would breathe your Holy Spirit on us, that in your word we may see the peace and be filled with the joy of the risen Christ, so that we can be your agents of reconciliation. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Our reading for today is from the book of Genesis, chapter 22, verse 1 to 14, and I'm reading from the NIV. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abram got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abram looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son," and the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. How many of us, at one time or another, have not felt that someone or some situation has been particularly trying or difficult, straining our dedication and commitment to breaking point? Our story has these elements in it. Here is Abraham who is suddenly asked by God to do the unspeakable, to sacrifice his only and much-loved son, whom Sarah gave birth to, that God had promised him, saying to him clearly in Genesis 17, verse 19, "Your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him." And again in Genesis chapter 21, verse 12, the second part, God assured him that it is through Isaac, meaning not Ishmael, that your offspring will be reckoned. So now, to be asked to sacrifice Isaac must have been a shock to Abraham, to prove his utter, unquestioning devotion to God. It seems that this conversation was quite audible. In fact, we read that he responded to God very clearly when he heard his name being called. He doesn't argue with God, nor does he take a week to make a decision to act. Instead, verse 3 says, "Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about." Now, from our perspective, the notion of God calling for the sacrifice of Isaac is deeply troubling. So too is Abraham's response. Looking first then at Abraham's response, it seems he does not find it beyond the realm of possibility that God may expect this of him. Since during his time, roughly 2100 to 1800 BC, human sacrifice was highly prevalent and officially approved among the various kingdoms and territories. It was a cultural norm across the ancient Near East as pagan nations went, routinely sacrificing their firstborn sons to prove their loyalty to local deities, and was viewed as the ultimate expression of religious devotion. So one might say our modern-day horror would be somewhat misplaced, but not our grief, since Abraham likely felt immense personal grief at this request from God. That said, there is a noticeable direction his thinking takes on the three-day journey, which we will look at in a while. Now, secondly, when we regard God instructing Abraham to sacrifice his son with words that must have cut very deep, saying, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and sacrifice him to me," we get that this is a test. But could God not have come up with something less final? Was there no other way to test Abraham's faith and faithfulness, to test his willingness to obey God in all things? Up to that point, the idea of human sacrifice was not part of walking with the God who had called him out of that kind of world. So now, things were taking a pretty dark turn. From our perspective, we are troubled that God would even give such an instruction because of what we understand about the Old and New Testaments, where it is abundantly clear that God neither demands nor approves of human sacrifice. He strictly forbids it as part of his covenant with Israel. At the same time, we are not in a position to lecture God on placing this demand on Abraham. Who are we to call into question the sovereignty and justice of a holy God? Instead, our task is to look deeper into the event and ask, so what, apart from testing Abraham, was God doing? We'll look at that in a while. To start with, it seems clear that God never intended that his command should be carried out by Abraham. The proof of this is that God restrained Abraham's hand just as he was about to take his son's life. He says, "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." God's purpose was simply to test Abraham's faith. God was not in any way set on behaving just like the surrounding nations perceived their gods to be. Nor was this a cruel and perverse joke, because as you will see, a number of very important things come out of this moment. This begins with the direction Abraham's thinking takes on the journey, which reveals how his faith came to bear as they made their way to the mountain that God told him to go to. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 to 19 provides us with some insight. It says, "By faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.' Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead." Since Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, he fully expected to return from that mountain and place of sacrifice with Isaac, and said as much to his servants in Genesis chapter 22, verse 5, because he knew and believed that the fulfillment of God's purposes depended on Isaac's survival. He trusted that God would resolve the problem, even if it meant raising him from the dead. And then in verses 7 to 8, Isaac says to his father, "The fire and wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? To which Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. So Abraham was resolute in his trust that all would work out in line with God's promises. But also, in Abraham's processing this, he had determined that God would not break his promises, promises that were to be fulfilled through Isaac. So he was completely of the view that God would, if Isaac were killed in sacrifice, raise him from the dead. And so Hebrews says that, figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Why figuratively? Because as far as Abraham's actions are concerned, Isaac was to be offered and would have been killed had he not been stopped. Therefore, he was raised from the dead. As we draw to a close, I want to come back to the question, what, apart from testing Abraham, was God doing? First, when God stopped Abraham from killing Isaac and providing a ram in the thicket, he drew a sharp moral boundary. This whole event served as a foundational declaration to Abraham's descendants that, unlike the gods of the surrounding nations, Yahweh explicitly rejected human sacrifice, then and for all time, not as a new position, but as his position from all eternity. Jewish scholarship says, to understand the binding of Isaac, we have to realize that much of the Torah, Genesis in particular, is a polemic against worldviews the Torah considers pagan, inhuman, and wrong. Secondly, in answer to the question, why then did God say to Abraham about Isaac, offering him up as a burnt offering, Jewish scholarship again holds that it is to make clear to all future generations that the reason Jews condemn child sacrifice is not because they lack the courage to do so. Abraham is the proof that they do not lack the courage. The reason they do not do so is because God is the God of life, not death. In Judaism, death is not sacred. Death defiles. Ultimately, for us, the story of the binding of Isaac brings us to the cross. In verse 8, when Abraham answered Isaac, saying, God himself will provide a lamb for the burnt offering, my son, it is almost certain that he did not have a fully formed, explicit understanding that he was prophesying about Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. Undoubtedly, it was his expression of immediate faith which God directed to serve as a prophetic foreshadowing or type of the crucifixion. However, when Jesus, speaking to the Jews opposing him, said in John chapter 8, verse 56, Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. He was saying that Abraham's vision of his incarnation as the Messiah was shaped by a day when God's redemptive work would be by grace on the basis of faith. He trusted the promises of God so deeply that it was just as real as seeing it with his own eyes. For the New Testament, then, the sacrifice of Isaac is more than the ultimate example of someone committing himself to obey God completely. It is a type or picture of God's sacrificial love and salvation. So, just as Abraham gave his only beloved son as a sacrifice, the Father did not spare his own son for the world. In Isaac's complete submission to Abraham's will, we see an image of the son who said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Furthermore, Isaac's near sacrifice and rescue mirrors Jesus' future death and resurrection. From a different perspective, as Isaac is rescued by a substitute ram, so the believer is rescued by a substitute lamb. Finally, the location of this event was on a mountain in the region of Moriah, which is where Solomon's temple was built and Christ was crucified. For us today, we are invited to remember God's provision in Jesus. God made a way for us and will continue to do so because he is a faithful, covenant-keeping God, and in our lives in general, he looks after us in every way. Our part is to commit to living in trusting, faithful obedience as his people and so be witnesses to the saving work of Jesus on the cross. Amen. Let us pray. O God, to fulfill your ancient promise of salvation, you made a covenant with our ancestors and pledged them descendants more numerous than the stars. In Christ this is fulfilled. Help us as we share in the blessings of your covenant, accomplished through the death and resurrection of your Son and sealed by the gift of your Spirit. Amen. And God bless you.